Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Into the Void podcast. I'm your host, Scott Fardella. Before I get into today's guest, just a reminder that each and every episode is brought to you by Southpaw Cat Cafe, Kingston's first and only cafe where you can sip a mocha and pet a cat at the same damn time. Our summer menu is slowly rolling out since we basically skipped spring in Kingston, so you can now get an iced coffee or a nice blended double chocolate iced mocha. God, that's a mouthful. So stay tuned for smoothies. They're coming soon. We also now are selling Into the Void buttons at the cafe, like little 1.5-inch pinback buttons. So if you want to help me keep this train rolling, drop by the cafe and buy one, or seven, whatever. That's it. That's all. My original guest for this evening apparently overcommitted their schedule and canceled the last minute, which is, I guess, always a danger with the podcast. So my backup plan was to give you the most narcissistic of episodes and make you listen to me talk about myself, which I still might do because I guess it'd be fun for you guys to know a little bit more about me. But my dear sweet brother Jeffrey texted me and said, "Yo, brother, I just cracked a bottle of whiskey. Let's do this damn thing." So without further ado, I give you my big brother, Jeff Fardella. Let's get weird. And here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my brother, Jeff Fardella. If you haven't met him, he's the chef at Fardella's Classic Bakery, and he'll deny that he's ever met me. So drop by there and say hi. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thanks for having me, brother. I won't deny it. I'll say about it first, and then I'll own up to it.
I've heard from literally everyone that comes in that says that they've met you tells me immediately that you denied knowing me. They're like, are you Scott's brother? And you're like, no, that's not me.
I just like messing with people. I mean, we look sort of alike, so it's fun to just see them perplexed, going, huh?
Yeah, our entire family looks identical. If you guys haven't been to SBT Comics, it's right beside the cafe. It's in the plaza next to the cafe. My cousin Mark runs that, and we're all basically twins. He's got tattoos, bald head, and he's like a shorter guy, not quite as short as me, but yeah, I guess our line just kept getting shorter, right? Like Mark kind of got, I don't know, he's probably like 5'9". You're getting down to like 5'7". I'm like Kevin Hart's height. I'm Kendrick Lamar's height. I'm in good company though. That's fine.
You just need to find a tall guy to hang out with, like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, basketball players. Yeah. No, you know what's hilarious? I was thinking about this the other day. You would never really know that Kendrick Lamar is as short as he is, and this might come as a shock to people listening, but yeah, he's 5'4", and you would never know that he's that short because in any albums or any features that he's on, if he's in album art and pictures, they Photoshop it and they fuck with the camera angles so that he looks taller. Like there's a picture of him with J. Cole, and J. Cole, I don't think he's like super tall. He might be like 6 foot, but J. Cole is like standing up and it's a shot, I think, from like the waist up, and then Kendrick is sitting down. So just because of the way they played with it, with him sitting down, he doesn't look quite as short, but if they were standing side by side, you'd be like, oh, that's a father and his child. It's hilarious.
Well, they did that with Michael Clark Duncan in The Green Mile. They shot everything from the ground up to make him look like he was 7.5 feet tall.
Right, yeah.
He's like 6'3", maybe. Yeah. Which is still big, but
same thing with the mountain in Game of Thrones for the first couple episodes. Or the first time you see him in the show. And then eventually they cast that monster from wherever he's from, Denmark or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's actually, he's actually, whatever he is, 6 foot, or what is he, 6'9" or something like that?
6'9", yeah. And I think he's like 420 pounds or something.
That's preposterous.
He's a fucking animal. He's huge.
Yeah, he's an absolute monster. Eats my body weight in food every single day. It's insane.
Yeah, he's a giant.
Yeah, he literally is a giant.
If you saw him back in the day, like back in the olden days, they wrote tales about people like that.
Yeah. Same about me, though. I would have been like a goblin, you know?
Well, no, because back in the day, you'd be average height.
Well, hear that, everyone? I was average at one point. Amazing.
I mean, I think the average man back 150 years ago, or even 100 years ago, was only 5'3", 5'4".
Yeah. You know what I was reading today just before I got home? I was reading this article on an artificial, what is it, a CGI social media influencer. And I had never heard of this, and it sounds insane to me. It's some crazy Black Mirror shit. But, and it's bizarre. So if you go on Instagram right now and look up Lil, oh shit, what's her name? Lil Raquel or something like that. I'm screwing up this name, and if you've heard of her, you're probably freaking out. But she's just a CGI model, and she has like 1.1 million followers. And just, I guess, a couple weeks ago, her Instagram account got hacked by another CGI model, and they had beef, and then she reclaimed, and she was saying, like, I'm not giving the account back until you admit the truth. And then she reclaims her account, and she's like, this is tough.
What is that even?
I'm not real. And she obviously says that she's, like, admits that she's a CGI person or artificial intelligence or some shit. So I think I'm missing something. I don't know if the person posting the captions is not real, and that's the point. Like, she's generating her own content, which is kind of scary. But I think the point is that the model in the photos is not real, which if you go to the account, you're like, well, fucking obviously, it looks like a PlayStation character. But then the article was talking about the future of CGI influencers, like it's, they can see a future where, say, someone like Kevin Hart lends their likeness to an avatar type character, like a CGI Kevin Hart, and has them hawk their brand, like sells their likeness to hawk their brand. And that's just so bizarre, so that they can, I guess, do more risque things with the avatar that the actor or actress doesn't have to be associated with. And it's just such a crazy world we're heading into.
See, I can see that. I mean, what did they do? What's that game? Last of Us for PS4.
Right.
They got in a ton of shit because they used Ellen Page's likeness.
Yeah.
And they claimed, oh no, we didn't mean to, and it wasn't you. But I mean, if you look at Ellie, I think is her name, from that game,
yeah,
and Ellen Page, they fucking look identical. Huh. And Ellen Page, I think, sued them for using her likeness to sell more video games.
I don't understand. So they used an actress' likeness without getting her permission?
Yeah, they said it was based on another girl, but the girl looks exactly like... the character looks exactly like Ellen Page.
That was my fault, sorry. Interesting.
Yeah, you should read up on that. That was like, what, 5 or 6 years ago that game came out.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago. Speaking of video games, let's go ahead and touch on Fortnite. My brother and I play Fortnite, and if you are behind the times and you haven't joined the online sensation that is Fortnite Battle Royale, for God's sakes, do yourself a favor. Stop listening to this podcast. Download the game for free, and join the madness. It's if you're not familiar, what it is, it's a battle royale game. So you start on a map with 100 people, 100 other live players, and you parachute in from the battle bus. You parachute into this island, and anything you see, if you can see it, you can go to it. So you can fly to it. You're parachuting in, you drop into an area, wherever it is, in the middle of nowhere if you want to, and you have to find a weapon and materials and things like that, and then be the last person alive. So you start with 100 players, and then everybody kills each other. It's like Hunger Games almost, but you have to mine resources, and then be the last person left alive. So you don't have to kill everybody else, you can just let everybody else kill each other. But at the end of the game, they only last about 15 minutes. You have to be the last person left alive.
And I'm going to date myself here. It's not like games. It's like Battle Royale, the movie.
A lot of people started off
where they dropped a bunch of people into the and they hunted each other. And the last one got his freedom and money.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I mean, the precursor to, I guess, The Hunger Games. And I think Kill Bill did an homage to that, didn't they? In Kill Bill, I think it was Kill Bill
Not
Volume
sure.
2. No, it was Volume 1 when she did, when she fought Oren Ishii. I think that was like an homage to Battle Royale.
There's been a lot of copycats. I mean,
For sure.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was in one called The Condemned.
What was it?
There's The Condemned
Oh,
with Stone Cold Steve
yeah.
Austin.
Did he
It's
crack a beer
basically a
on his
bunch of
forehead?
prisoners and bad guys are dropped on an island. They fight to the death. Last one out gets his freedom. Death Race with Jason Statham was
Yeah.
another one.
Yeah, why is that
But with
genre of
girls,
movies and
like,
stuff?
battle it until you are the last car standing.
Why do you think that genre of movies,
Sorry, pardon?
I said, why do you think that genre of movies is so popular? That like fight to the death type, because Predators was real, well, not super well received, but that was Predators one where they drop a bunch of humans on an island, and the predator hunts them, and you have to be the last human left alive or try to survive, I guess.
I don't know. I think it's just entertaining to watch, and I think it speaks. It's kind of like a Rocky story, but with guns
It's pretty
and aliens.
pretty
I mean, I think
dark
that's
though,
what
isn't
we're
it?
going for, is the underdog always picks it out and wins.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty predictable. I saw Hunger Games 3 in Thailand. That was fantastic. I actually didn't mind that series. And then there was what felt like the same exact series over and over. There was Hunger Games, and then The Maze Runner, and then oh shit, what was the other
Divergent.
one? Yeah, Divergent. That was the one I was thinking of. Divergent felt like the exact
That
same.
came out either right before or just after the Hunger Games.
Yes, but we digress. Let's go back to Fortnite because I was just reading. If you're unfamiliar again with this game and why it's so popular, because I'm sure your spouse has played this game. If you haven't played this game, everyone else in the world is playing this game, and there's a reason why it's so popular. It's the number one game, I believe, in the world right now. They're making something like $1 to $2 million a day on just on mobile users since they came to iPhone and Android. That is insane amounts of money. I think they made like $500 million last year. And the reason why it's so popular is because it's got elements of like Minecraft. It's got shooter elements. It's cartoonish and fun, so it applies to or it appeals to kids. Like it's silly. It's not super gory. There's like dance emotes that you can dance at your opponents and kind of taunt them and whatever. And it's they steal like memes from the internet and put them into the game. The whole map you can explore and find Easter eggs and shit like that. But it's just a living, breathing online community that evolves with the community. Like the community suggests things, Epic puts them in. They alter the game every other week, well, every week really. And it's just huge. It's taken, I mean, it's taken over its chief rival, I guess, PUBG, what is it? Player Unknown's Battleground overtook them within something like 18 months or something. It's not even that long, I don't think. 18 months is probably exaggerating. Very quickly.
Well, I think it was out before we started playing it. I think we came into the party late,
Well,
actually.
yeah, we started playing, I think, in season two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it
And
had been out
it's
for like
3 month
3 months maybe.
seasons, so yeah, they're a
Yeah.
year in.
Yeah, a year in, and they overtook their main rival very quickly.
I don't know if it was out before that first season started,
I
because
don't
they could
think
have
so.
just built that in afterwards.
Well, yeah, I suppose the game has been out for quite a long time, the single player campaign, but the Battle Royale, yeah, is fairly new.
The single player is okay. I have it. It's not great.
Yeah. But
I mean,
yeah.
I play it for the online.
Now you know what it is. Hit me up. My username is SF on PS4. Let's squad up. Where are we dropping, boys? What else is going on in the news, Jeffrey? You read the newspapers.
I actually don't read a lot of the news. I've been watching some hockey. I watched our Toronto Raptors up here. We the North. They've been terrible.
Yeah. I can't contribute to this conversation at all. I don't watch sports. I did watch Triple G beat the piss out of that guy last night. If you're fans of boxing, Triple G, the God
did
of War.
Did you expect different?
My God, no. Yeah. Not at all. He, like, body bagged him. It was ridiculous.
Did you see that it had actually turned out that Canelo was eating tainted beef?
No. Stop it. They said that because they tested his hair follicles. Yeah, but who did the testing of his hair follicles? Where did that hair come from? I don't buy it. It's boxing. I don't buy it.
Even Brendan Schaub talked about it the other night on Below the Belt, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, he talked about it. I still don't buy it.
He was tested by the USADA or whatever, and they pulled hair from him. And even they said, like, his story checks out.
Nah.
I mean, it probably wasn't tainted beef, but it was a botched test.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't buy it. I still don't buy it.
Well, no, by that any guy that gets busted for steroids comes out and goes, well, I wasn't on steroids. I mean,
no. No, because nobody does. In the history of athletes, has any athlete ever been caught once and then been like, yeah, you're right, you got me? Nobody. Literally nobody. They never admit it. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's boxing. Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin, or Triple G, were supposed to fight this weekend, Cinco de Mayo. And they're competing for the middleweight title. Triple G holds all the belts except the one that Canelo holds. So he wants to unify the belts. They fought once, ended in a very, very suspicious draw, which was bullshit. Triple G clearly won the first fight. And
there shouldn't have been a rematch. There shouldn't have been anything.
Triple G's it's just a very clear, obvious sign of corruption in boxing. Because whoever scored that fight a draw was fucking drunk. You can watch that fight and, like, anybody, even a casual fan, would be like, well, no, he clearly lost, like, 10-2. It was absurd. But anyway, so they were supposed to rematch.
It was a girl, was it not?
Adelaide Bird, yeah.
Yeah, she was fired from the UFC for doing the same thing.
Yeah, she was
just shit.
She was a judge for the UFC, and same thing, was lying in her pockets and taking bribes and whatever. But anyway, so they were supposed to fight this Cinco de Mayo. They fought last year, Cinco de Mayo, and they were supposed to fight this year. And then, like a month ago, Canelo tested positive for clenbuterol, which is a steroid, and he said he got it from tainted meat in tacos in Mexico, which is not an unusual thing. Sometimes that happens because of the hormones they use in beef. You can test positive for steroid, for low levels of clenbuterol or other types of steroids and shit. Nobody was really buying that. And then he got his hair tested, I guess, by USADA, the U.S. anti-doping agency, and they cleared him. But it was too late. That was like a day before the fight or something like that, or a week before the fight. And he had already bailed on the fight. So they didn't fight this weekend. Triple G just picked some some can to crush, I guess. I don't even know who he fought. But I think it was third round. Just crushed him. Knocked him out. And that's Triple G's, I don't know, 35th knockout. This guy has never been knocked down, never been knocked out in something. He's got like 350 amateur fights. It's absurd. And then I think 39 or 40 professional fights. He's a monster.
Dude, I can't contribute to this because I don't watch boxing. I watched that Triple G and Canelo fight. You're right, it was one sided, and Canelo should have never even been considered for a rematch.
That squeaking noise, by the way, Jeffrey is reporting live from the bath.
No, I'm reporting live from my living room, and my adopted dog is now chewing my foot out of his squeak toy.
How's his tooth?
Well, there is no tooth, but the hole where his tooth was is fine.
My brother's dog just broke his tooth and had to get it repaired. Poor little guy. Poor little fella.
No repair, man. He had it ripped out.
Yeah, they just took a pair of pliers, reached into his mouth. Head. Ripped it off.
Yeah, but the other dog's a tank, so I mean, that's his fault for going after him.
Yeah, yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, I had to rip his tooth out. That's what happened. Or yeah. The vet had to rip his tooth
out. No, Jeff did it himself personally. He held the dog down and pulled it. That's the kind of monster I grew up with.
Yeah, well, my environment, I guess.
Yeah. Jeffrey and I grew up in Amersfoort. Jeff, tell me a story from Amersfoort. Do you remember that place?
Amersfoort. You mean our house? I don't really remember.
The haunted house.
Mom's house.
I do.
I remember our mom. Well, I mean, you were in the daycare and stuff. I wasn't. I was there, but I didn't go to the daycare.
No, that's true.
Speaking about our mother ran the Amersfoort daycare before it burnt down. Twice, I believe.
It mysteriously burnt down.
Yeah. Probably some fucking demon child set the place on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, Damien. We'll call him Damien.
Yeah.
But we lived there. We lived on Sherwood with our father. We lived in Addington Court.
Yeah.
With our
haunted,
mother.
Haunted house. No, that was with Addington. Dad. Addington. Oh, no, Addington. Addington. Was Addington Crescent? Addington Street, yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Addington Street. And, or Crescent, or whatever it was.
Yeah, Addington Crescent. You know, I can't remember. But there was this huge church-looking playhouse in the backyard.
Yeah, that thing was crazy.
Like a two-story structure. We got to play in that. It was sweet. But there was... I mean, there was nails coming through the roof that if you stood up too fast, you could get a nail in your skull.
Yeah. Yeah, growing up in that house was ridiculous. That was a terrifying experience as a child. That whole house was so creepy.
Somebody killed children in that basement. Then.
I mean, it's possible. It was like straight out of the Amityville Horror. So we lived at if you go back in the episode, you'll hear the address. But anyway.
We didn't say the address, we just told them what street it was on.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, you look for the playhouse in the backyard that looks like a church. It's legit, like, one-story. I mean, it's a huge, you can fit a family. We did, actually. We slept in that thing and just got eaten alive by earwigs all night when the family came to visit. But our bedroom was in the basement of this monstrosity of a house, and... We didn't have windows in the basement. We had these weird bunk beds that were built into the wall, but not fun. It was terrifying, this place. So it's just pitch black in the basement. We're children. No windows. You had to close the door, shut the lights, and then run across the room to your bed. Probably sound like the biggest pussy right now because we're afraid of the dark. But you didn't live in this house. You don't know. Basement was so scary.
It was a blood red shag carpet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my
picture
God.
An L shape along the back wall or the left wall walk in and up the back wall. And basically it was a little tiny ladder. You climb into the bottom bunk. And then there was like a 1.5 foot step up to the top, which was connected to the bottom bunk going along the back wall.
Yeah.
And it was only, 3 feet from the ceiling, the top of the bunk bed?
Not even. No, not even, because you would sit up and hit your head.
Yeah, I hit my head every single day waking up. And there was a little ledge at the end of my bed.
Yeah.
I don't know, you put a nook or whatever it was, but it was a sharp edge.
Yeah.
So, like, if you missed your pillow laying down, you split the back of your head open.
Yeah.
And then I remember under my head was this, I don't know, it was like a 2-foot-wide closet.
Yes.
That was...
Right,
It was cut into the bunk bed, like underneath my head, that went, I don't know, 4 feet or 5 feet back. You could get in, but you couldn't turn around. That's how
it was. And mind you, we were children, so like... You would go into this weird little cubby that wasn't even wide enough for a child to fit in. It was just the weirdest construction choice. Honestly, it was confusing at Isle why they made these choices.
Yeah, you could get in there, but you couldn't turn around.
No, someone could easily trap you. You'd have to turn sideways to slide into this weird little cubby. But then, okay, so move down the hallway. into the basement, like into the rec room rather, and you'd look to the back wall of this base of this rec room, and it's mirrors, just a wall of mirrors that were cracked and broken. So picture sitting alone in the dark watching TV or whatever, and just something catches your eye and you look back and it's hundreds of cracked mirrors. It was terrifying. It was honestly like something out of a horror movie. Such a weird...
I remember the worst thing was you'd walk in the dark and the VCR light on, and it would reflect in all hundreds these broken of times. Mirrors. Yeah. So you'd see like 100 little red dots.
Red dots. Oh my God. There was so much weird shit that happened in that basement. My God. And then I remember I would always... Because you'd have to... You'd have to shut the lights in that room, turn the lights off there, and then sprint down that hallway because it was pitch black. There's no, it's under this room is underground, like basement was subground, so no light came in. So you'd have to kill the lights in that rec room and then sprint down the hallway towards the stairs to go up onto the main level. So you'd run past, and the stairs were like open underneath. So you'd run past the stairs and then turn a sharp corner and go up the stairs. And my fear was always that something was going to reach out from under the stairs and grab me. And I remember once, so I'd always sprint the fuck up the stairs. And I remember one day, we have step siblings, an older sister and an older brother. And my older brother thought it would be hilarious to hide under the stairs and wait for that moment. So I cut the lights and I go sprinting past the stairs, around the corner, go up the stairs, and at the last second, he grabs my ankle and I thought I was going to die. I almost shit my pants. Oh my God. It was bizarre. God.
Yeah. Well, do you remember there was a cold storage on the right hand side? Right before you turn to go up the stairs.
Yep.
So there's just this black door that led into a fucking cold ass room.
Yeah. Yeah. Did that door have like a weird key on it, like an antique keyhole, or was that just the bedrooms upstairs?
I think it was the bedrooms upstairs.
Yeah.
Had basically like old school, like 1900s or 1800s
keyholes. Yeah. Like you could peer through the keyhole.
Yeah.
That, ugh. So bizarre. And yeah, it was a cold storage. We would watch scary movies because that was a pastime for our family. It's not inappropriate at all for kids our age to watch terrifying movies in a dark basement. And then we'd go to bed. And I still to this day don't know if it was our parents scratching on the wall trying to scare us, thinking it was funny.
No, I guarantee it was. I can guarantee it was the end up doing that.
Oh, thanks. Good.
Now yeah, I know. Well, no monsters, just them.
Yeah.
I remember getting woke up with glasses of water poured on me to wake me up.
Yeah, I remember that too. Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Just dump water on us thinking it's hilarious.
Yeah, they would laugh. We'd be soaked.
Oh my
They'd
God.
They'd have to do the laundry, which was just counterproductive.
Joke's on you guys.
Yeah. No, I remember that.
My God.
Jen and I, our sister, used to go to the video store in Amherst. And we had a permission slip, basically, from our dad and our stepmom to rent horror movies.
Yeah, that was every Friday night we did that.
Every Friday night, we basically watched every single horror movie from 1986 on.
Yeah, you remember watching, I don't know if we ever watched it, but I don't know why as children we were obsessed with Bloody Mary. But do you remember that where you would say Bloody Mary three times in the mirror, and then apparently it just jumps out and kills you?
It was a Candyman.
Yeah, Candyman too. We watched Candyman, but I remember we were at the movies, or we were at the video shed one time, the video store, and I was younger than you guys, obviously, and we were joking about which movie to rent, and I was terrified of Bloody Mary, and you guys were like, oh, which movie should we get? Let's get Bloody Mary. And I was, I didn't want to seem like a pussy, but in my head I was like pleading, like, oh God, please don't get that movie. I don't want to watch that. And I don't think we did, we ever did, but Jesus Christ. Ugh. You're obsessed with it.
We had a pretty good childhood. I don't know if you remember this from when we lived in the daycare, but I remember I watched Child's Play. I think Dad let me watch it, or our aunt and uncle let me watch it. And our parents got me a My Buddy doll.
Which was essentially Chucky.
Yeah, for you young people out there that don't know what the fuck a My Buddy doll is, but know what Child's Play and Chucky is, YouTube My Buddy. It's what they based the Child's Play doll off of, for one.
Imagine your parents getting you an Annabelle doll.
Yeah, well, you know what? At the time, Child's Play was Annabelle. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But they gave me one of these dolls, and then they made me watch this movie.
Yeah.
So I remember when we lived in
Sweet Dreams,
in the daycare upstairs.
Yeah.
I remember I used to sleep with this doll. And I'm a little kid. I toss and I turn in my sleep. So it would lay beside me. When I'd wake up, it'd be in a different spot. So, of course, what do I fucking think? It's alive. It's going to probably kill me and take my soul so it can be a child forever.
Yeah, that's what it wanted.
Yep. So I remember ripping its head off and putting it in our closet.
Yeah, that's dark.
And locking the closet door, because it was one of those doors that pivoted open in the middle.
Yeah.
Towards you. And I remember putting a broomstick across the door handle so it couldn't get out.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, well,
you should have probably just burned the house down. That's what I would have done.
Saved your life,
little brother. Thank you.
If it weren't for me, he would have killed both of us.
I think, I remember the only, I don't know why, but the one thing that comes to mind for me in that house, well, several. So we lived at the daycare in Amherstview, like Jeff said. And I remember in the basement of the daycare, it was three levels. So in the there was like two, you walk in on the main floor, upstairs we lived, downstairs the two lower levels were the daycare. And in the very basement of the daycare, I remember for whatever reason, there was a screw that if you stepped on it, it was like the transition piece from tile to carpet. Like the little metal piece that that separates tile from carpet. And one of the screws that screwed into the floor was touching a wire or something. But you would step on that screw and get an electric shock. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that. But
we would play on it as kids.
What I do remember is we were Bart Simpson, and we were basically like the cupcake attached to the electric probe.
Yeah, we didn't
remember
stop.
Remember that episode where he just keeps and he's like, why you? Was basically us.
We never stopped. I wonder if
go, shit, that shocked me. And then we do it again for fun.
If we, I wonder if we had wet feet and we stepped on that thing, if we would ever like get a serious shock. But yeah, we played on that as kids because we didn't have technology yet. That's what we did. We stepped on screws that got us a mild electric shock.
Yeah, you spoiled bastards.
Kids don't know these days. My God.
The struggle was real.
It was real.
When we were kids. We electrocuted ourselves for fun. Do you hear us?
Yeah. Oh, I watched, I got incredibly high last night and watched, what was it called? There you go. That's what happens when you smoke marijuana like a cigarette.
Westworld?
No, it wasn't Westworld. It was the new Joaquin Phoenix movie. You were never really here or there. You were never really somewhere.
Good reviews.
It was not a movie that you should watch after smoking a marijuana.
It doesn't sound like it should be. It sounds like
no,
it's pretty psychological.
It's very dark. It's about, it's like The Equalizer meets Taken meets Man on Fire. It's this dark, troubled man who is now a private detective kind of thing. And he saves girls from sex trafficking, and so really quite a dark movie to begin with, and then it's also like It's like a not a thriller, but it's psychological and just trippy, where there's a lot of cuts to flashbacks and obviously very dark subject matter. So I'm sitting there watching this high, not knowing what to expect. And the opening scene is Joaquin with a bag over his head practicing suffocating himself. And that's how it starts. That's the first 5 minutes of the movie. And yeah, it's, I don't know what the hell happened. I got to watch it again sober so I can give a proper review. It was a good movie though. I could tell that I enjoyed it because I was rightfully horrified at the end of it. He beats a lot of people with a hammer. What's that?
What'd you watch it on?
I watched it online. I stole it. There it is. I'm a stealer.
You didn't steal it. You watched a stolen copy.
I watched. There it is. I admitted I watched a stolen copy. Come and arrest me.
See, I don't agree with that as a piracy thing. If somebody else steals the movie and uploads it, they're the pirate.
Well, sure, but you're receiving stolen property, essentially.
Well, see, that's the thing with piracy is, I don't know if you downloaded it or streamed it.
I streamed it.
Android boxes aren't illegal. You're allowed to stream stuff. Or watch stream stuff. They're legal. Yeah. I know plenty of police officers that have Android boxes.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything, though.
But if you download it, then they consider it piracy, which is fucking bizarre to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the whole thing. Now that I'm a small business owner, I feel that I feel differently about certain things. Like, they're showing that movie at the screening room, which I easily could have gone down to the screening room and supported them and bought a ticket. And then I honestly did feel like mildly guilty, not guilty enough to not do it, but I felt guilty having not gone to buy a ticket and support like another local business, which I definitely want to make time to do now. But yeah, that, I don't know, it affects people when you stream things like that.
It does and it doesn't. See, my thing is, Catherine and I go to a movie almost every other week, sometimes every week.
Yeah, so you guys love your movies.
If I go home after, let's say, spending $30 or $35 on the two of us to watch a movie, and I download said movie when it comes out, I fucking already paid for that movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure. But I don't I think the problem is that a lot of people don't. And I don't think that's necessarily our problem. I don't think you're ever going to get away from this. Like, now, I mean, there's no way to unring this bell now. It's too far gone. You're never going to stop streaming. So they need to stop trying. And what they need to do is just adjust and do like the Netflix model. Like, I don't know how they're making money. I guess just through their streaming model, but, or through their pricing model, their subscription model. But if they can do it for $10 a month and produce like that movie Bright with Will Smith and whoever the other guy was, and that's like a fully produced Hollywood quality movie for free to download. And if they can do that, then Hollywood can too. And I think that's where they need to like redirect, get away from movie theaters, because movie theaters just keep trying to reinvent the wheel and like add new seats. But like, that's not going to do it. I mean, it does it because it's still fun to do, but I'm sure they're seeing still declining ticket sales. Although, I guess Avengers would beg to differ, but still.
Yeah, see, that's my thing, is the movie industry goes, oh, it's killing us. No, it's not.
Yeah, but I guess it's not, is it? Because they still have
every single Marvel movie has hit over $1 billion.
Yeah, that's true. What am I talking about?
Don't tell me you're suffering when every single movie Marvel has ever produced is putting out $1 billion.
Yeah, that's true. And it's
ridiculous.
It's like anything else. Like, it didn't kill the music industry either. It might have killed certain facets of the industry. Like, certain people lost money. I'm sure companies lost money. But you adjust to that and figure it out. Like now there's YouTube monetization and all that other stuff. So they figure out ways to make money elsewhere. It's just in the interim, I guess you hear a lot of grumbling because certain people are losing money. But
see,
the market balances out.
It actually helped the artists in music.
Oh, it definitely did. The individuals, the artists, the musicians themselves, it helped for sure.
They make a ton more money now.
Yeah, I think they do.
Paying a guy 90% for their CD and only making 10% to I can pay
10%
say,
is generous
10%
even.
Out to everybody that produces it and I can sell it myself on iTunes or
on iTunes or YouTube. Like look at the YouTube monetization, the number of artists who have come up through YouTube because they did it and they did it themselves without like a record label or anything else is incredible. It's staggering. And there's so much money out there because your platform is just there for the world. They've got the infrastructure. It's so, I don't want to say easy, but it's much more accessible.
Oh, it's easy. Like anybody that says
if it was easy,
that
anybody would do it.
Make money online now. I'm sorry, and I will say this, and there's going to be a lot of haters that listen to your show and go, blah, blah, blah. Okay, look at Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call him out.
No, I'll stop.
Number one, I'm not that worried. But I'm going to say right now.
I promise you, he'll never hear
this.
What the
world coming?
but I can tell you, I can explain Tekashi 6ix9ine. If you don't know who, I don't even want to give him free promo by giving more attention to him. It was at this point in the podcast that my brother Jeff went off on Tekashi 6ix9ine, and instead of listening to that, how about some pleasant elevator music? All right, and we'll rejoin the podcast now. Enjoy. I think where he gets his popularity from, you can debate whether or not it's music, but he appeals to, like, sixth graders. That's where he gets his popularity. Because if you look at the YouTube demographic, it's mostly younger people. And I would be willing to bet all my money that most of his demographic is under 18. And that's where his views are coming from. That's where he's getting millions of dollars from, is the views from those kids. And his platform is like world star hip hop. So who's watching that? And what demographic is that? The types of people that listen to that angry rap music that's just like hardcore gangster, whatever. First of all, anybody with a brain knows that he's not living that lifestyle. Obviously, if he was, he'd be in prison. Like, ask Bobby Shmurda or Meek Mill or T.I. if that lifestyle can be lived while you're that famous. Like, it just can't. You'll get caught up eventually.
He claims that, though. And there's been some artists, I will give an example, The Game.
Yeah.
Who has come out and called him out on not being a real blood.
Well, for sure. Yeah. But that's always, that's also Game's trying to stay relevant too. And he's doing what he's got to do to make money. But anyway.
True. Game is a true blood.
Well,
like he.
Well, debatable. He also was on Change of Heart.
Change of Heart.
And got his heart broken.
He was on Change of Heart when he was like 15.
Yeah, well, still though. Anyway, so it's
love with a girl doesn't mean you can't still murder people, okay? I'm just saying that.
I don't know how we got on that subject of Tekashi 6ix9ine. But I guess talking about your YouTube sensation.
Talking about YouTube views and monetization on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he is probably one of the most monetized guys right now on YouTube because he's had so many views.
He's certainly up there.
If it weren't for YouTube, he wouldn't be selling.
He wouldn't be on five times in a row. It's bizarre that is like a market now, though, that YouTube rappers are a phenomenon. I guarantee, though, he is a flash in the pan. We probably won't see anything from him for like next year. Because the difference between him and someone like Kendrick Lamar or Logic or somebody else is that those people, like Logic, Kendrick, they'll go down in history as some of the greats because they have a catalog of music, like deep music that they've worked hard for. Like they've put in their time, their 10,000 hours. They've been doing it for a long time. They're true musicians. It's well produced. It's well thought out. They've just worked for it, and it shows. Whereas Tekashi 6ix9ine, he's just here for the money, and then he's going to bounce. He has no, I don't think, artistic integrity, so he's not going to stick around. And there's a lot of people like that. I don't think he'll be around next year.
I don't want to cut you off. Speaking of Lod, have you watched Rhapsody on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
No, look up Rhapsody on Netflix.
I know what it is.
Basically, I think it's Rhapsody. It's T.I. or sorry, it's Logic, T.I., Nas, and like three other artists. Mm. And they basically go around and they just do one-on-one interviews. And it's like an hour. I think it's an hour-long episode where they talk about how they get into the game, how the fame has affected them. I've heard of Logic a bunch of times. I've heard his name. I haven't heard a lot of his music.
That surprises me.
The very first. Yeah, I know. I'm big on hip hop, but I had heard of him. I just wasn't that into him.
I've been listening to Logic since his first mixtape. I think it was Young Sinatra or Undeniable. It was like 2006 or 2008.
Yeah, I remember listening to it in the Explorer with you.
Yeah.
But the very first episode is about Logic. Mm-hmm. And it basically goes through and he tells his story of how he made it to fame, blah, blah, blah. And it talks about his 1-800 song or 1-877 song.
The Suicide Hotline song, yeah. Everybody knows that song now.
Helpline one, the one that made him absolutely famous.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good dude.
The entire documentary, like 1 hour documentary, I'm a huge fan. Like, Logic, if you're out there and you're listening to this by whatever chance, man, huge fan, love you, good for you. I'm not trying to shamelessly promote myself.
Just shout out. Give us a shout out, Logic. We could use it.
Yeah, give us a shout out if you really want to. I mean, you can't. I'm a
Hey, whoever's listening to this, if you could go ahead and just pass this to Logic and make him shout it out on his Instagram to his millions of followers, that'd be tremendous. Scott needs to eat.
Yeah, Logic, if you want, I'll dye my hair blonde and I'll look like Ellen. You can come talk to me. It's fine.
Neither of us have hair.
Pardon?
Nothing. No, nothing. Jeffrey, it's been almost an hour. Let's wrap this thing up. We're going to go play some Fortnite, everybody. Hop on soon. Jeff, where can they reach you?
They can reach me at j_fardella@hotmail.com or .ca. You can yell at me, say whatever you want to me. Or you can find me on Fortnite at or PlayStation at Fuffdella, FuffDella.
He's always on. He's literally always on.
Yeah, well... No, it always shows that I'm on. I only play video games. Like,
or you can drop by the bakery, Fardella's Classic Bakery, and he'll cook you something delicious because he's a fantastic cook. Jeffrey, thank you for being on. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no problem, brother.
And next week we have Nick Swackhammer, a.k.a. Swack, who is...
Oh, the big Swack.
The big Swack, yeah. He is a security officer, head of security at... the casino out in Gananoque. I worked with him for about 10 years. He's a good dude. That'll be fun. And then the following week, we have a therapist on. And then the following week, we have a gentleman that I just spoke to today. Jeff knows him. Is a guy from high school named Mike Pullman. And he told me that he now works with this charity, this local charity in Kingston called the Bearded Villains. And they have an event going on that weekend that we're going to talk about. So that's pretty exciting. We have in the can right now, or in the pipe, rather. And that's coming up in the next 3 weeks. So stay tuned. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.